Good morning and welcome to Local Matter Sports. This is your host, Sam Brooks, with my co-host, Michael Bowen. Today, we've got a very special guest in the broadcast room. Wayne Anderson, football legend from Tennessee Tech, is our guest today. We're going to get into some football with Wayne, but first of all, welcome to our show.
Well, I'm glad to be here, and thanks for the invitation to be here. I know I did it about a year ago with you, and it's always good to reflect back on what I did and moving forward with what I'm doing now. So it's a really cool thing, especially to be affiliated with Tennessee Tech.
Man, we're really looking forward to digging into that and really sharing out with the folks. This show's about sports, so we're going to try and relate most everything to how it worked in your life related to sports. So that's very important for the folks to hear. But my goal is for them to get to know you just a little bit better.
Okay.
Now, I don't think if they were here any time around the era that you played, they have any problem knowing who you are. Wayne was an All-American kicker for Tennessee Tech and ended up going to the NFL and playing ball in the NFL. We're going to talk about that. And now, very special to me, and we're all Golden Eagles sitting in this room right now, Michael Bowen included. And I want to talk a lot about what you're doing right now with Tennessee Tech's football team. But let's start. Just give everybody an update of where you're from and maybe how you got to Tennessee Tech.
Well, I was born in Canada, north of the border. I was born in Canada. My parents moved to Fort Lauderdale when I was 4 years old. My dad was a hockey player in the Toronto Maple Leaf organization, so sports is in our blood. He was on the Canadian PGA Tour as well, so the bloodline runs deep. But we moved down there when I was four. My brother was two. Grew up in South Florida. Played baseball my whole time down there through high school, and I didn't start playing football until 10th grade. And with that being said, a couple of guys on our JV team said, Anderson, you need to come out. You need to kick because look at you do just fooling around with the ball. And I said, yeah, I'll do it. I'll try it. I ended up kicking and playing defensive back and punted and played wide receiver as well, too. But the really cool thing about what happened to me was we had a different coach my senior year in high school, and he was really prone on the special teams. So he really gave me an opportunity to, I guess, excel at what I do so it would help propel me into college. Well, it worked out to my favor. I mean, I got looks at from Colorado State, West Virginia, and so forth, but Tennessee Tech was the only one that offered me a full scholarship. So when I came up here with my dad to look at the school, it was kind of a no-brainer financially, especially back then when my dad was the only one working. So back in the 70s, it was a no-brainer for me to come up here and be affiliated with this program.
And what was high school football like in South Florida back then?
Well,
it was such a big thing now.
It was very competitive, Mike. It was like my senior year, we went 7-3, and it was one of the best records that school ever had. And we ran the wishbone, but we threw out of the wishbone. I mean, I made 5 out of 7 field goals. My longest was 48.
Wow.
I had a 42-yard punting average. But the thing that was really cool was the fact that we were able to win 7 games.
Mm-hmm.
And all of us played together the last 3 years together, so the camaraderie and the togetherness of that team projected us into the work ethic projected us into having that 7-3 year, which was really, really kind of cool.
And you mentioned, you said 5 out of 7 field goals that year. So how were you able to get information out about yourself to colleges because it's so much different?
That's a great question because we had a new coach my senior year, and he was from Iowa.
Okay.
So with that being said, he basically was doing everything he could market-wise to send my name out and say, hey, you need to pick this kid up. He's worth looking at.
Right.
So I don't know if his contacts came to be with Tennessee Tech contacts, but I know Coach Joy and Coach Kardatsky were the ones that recruited me. And they said they had heard from my coach. So evidently they got something from him moving forward, and it ended up being a really good thing.
Not very many football players, not very many high school football players get the opportunity to go to college, and then many less get the opportunity to go and play in the NFL. So just talk about, you're nearing the end of your senior year. You've got all these accolades and all these records that are piling up for your time here with Coach Wade at Tennessee Tech, and those were some very successful years in the history of Tennessee Tech football. And I think to date we have, 11 OVC championships in football, which is one of the most in the OVC, but you're ending your career, and now you're starting to get NFL attention. Tell us about that.
Well, if I could go back my junior year, the spring of my junior year, going into my fall year, they would have scouts out And Coach Joy hooked me up with all this. He's the one that coordinated all those efforts. So he said, Anderson, you need to be out here for the Seattle Seahawks or whatever team and go out there and kick for 10, 15 minutes with them. So with that being said, I really didn't put two and two together as my next phase of my life and what it would be or what it, or how it would turn out. I just went out there and did what I felt that I needed to do at the time because people were looking at me, and I figured, let's give it a whirl. It was a relaxed thing for me. It wasn't nerve-wracking or anything. It really came really kind of like take your next step, put your foot in front of the other foot, and just walk through this. So it worked out really well, from that perspective.
We're talking to Wayne Anderson, former Tennessee Tech All-American football player, and also moved on to the NFL.
So if you don't mind, I'd just kind of like to crawl inside the head of a kicker here. I think a lot of people
you
would.
You crawl.
Yeah, so, to me it's always been such a unique position.
Yep.
Possibly being on the sidelines the entire game and then, being pulled out in the spotlight and the game being on your shoulders. So how has that mental process worked for you? How can you be good at that?
Well, Mike, I would have to go back to high school and even my career in baseball because it seemed like whenever a situation arose that bases loaded, two outs, you're down by two runs. Every situation that I was involved with, it came out successful. So people would say, call me clutch or whatever. But it's like you thrive on stuff like that. So the older I got, and especially when I got up here to Tennessee Tech, and I was put in that situation, probably my first year, I was 17 years old up here at Tennessee Tech, and I had the game winner at Western Carolina. Well, I kicked the game-winning field goal, but we won by it wasn't the game winner, but it was the 3 points that won us the game.
Right.
But it was the fact that you prepare for that. You practice for that. That's why you do it. And you want to go out there. You don't want to sit there and go, I don't know if I want to go out there right now because it's windy or whatever the case may be. You have to be able to want to be out there, and you got to be positive, and you want to do it. And that's where I think fell in my favor because every time there was a situation, I wanted to do it.
Yeah, and do you have to have a short memory? Do you have to be able to let
things
go?
Well, you do. If you've missed one prior or you had an incident where it didn't go so well, you want to forget that. And I was very fortunate. I never really had any issues where it projected me to be a negative because I always wanted to focus on the positive.
Right.
That's huge. Focusing on the positive in anything that you do is very important, especially in your business of being a kicker. I don't want to miss this time, so I want folks to know a little bit more about you and what you're doing right now. So what is your job? What do you do?
My job, I'm a member services representative for Public Entity Partners. It's local government insurance for municipalities, housing authorities, Upper Cumberland, all districts within the state. We roughly have 95 to 96% of the state insurance.
Wow.
Wide. I cover East Tennessee, so I meet with our members, go over renewal applications with them, explain our website, go over the services and the resources we have available to them to help reduce losses within their workplace to help them save premium dollars. And at the same token, be in front of people and engage them with what we do, but not only the engaging process, but build that relationship with those people geared towards our insurance programs and how that can help people, help the municipalities.
So I don't know how long I've known you. I've known you for a long time, and I don't think I've ever asked you. I knew you were in insurance.
I think you have asked me.
At least I knew that.
Yeah.
So that's great to know, and you live here, and will stay here, I'm sure.
Correct. I have no plans to leave.
So you have a son that played at Quitwell High School for Coach Maynard, and you were lucky enough to be able to coach at Quitwell High School and be the kicking coach. Talk a little bit about what that meant to you to be able to work with your son on the field.
Well, when I came back up here, actually it's going to be 8 years this year, and Jacob wanted to go out for football, and I went to Coach Maynard. I said, Maynard, and in fact, Maynard came to me and asked me if I'd help. And I said, I'd be glad to. I'd love to. I figured there was something missing aside from work. I mean, you're busy with work, but something's missing. When you got kicking in your blood like I do, I wanted to give back to kids, and very thankfully so, I was able to be there for 4 years while my son went from a freshman all the way through his senior year. And the rapport that you have with those kids, and to see those kids grow and to have five or six kids from the high school on Tech's football team, it's pretty neat to have that relationship with them and see where they were to where they are now.
And you guys had some good teams.
Yes, we did.
Those 4 years. And I know Steve Hatcher also worked with you.
Yes, Coach Hatcher. Yep. I was blessed to have him out there. In fact, I met him at one of the practices early on before I came to Cookeville. And we hit it off right away because he did kick back in the day and so forth. But we just have two engaging personalities that we wanted to be around kids and help kids and help improve the program. And that was my goal, you know, ultimately.
Well, I mean, it's a no-brainer to me as a football coach. And, you know, Jimmy Maynard's not a stupid guy. If you can throw an NFL kicker out there coaching your kickers, punters, I mean, and you can, it'd be crazy not to do that. So kudos to Coach Manning for thinking that far ahead. And then at the same time, you know, I take my receivers back when Mike played, constant work with them daily on skills, getting them better and better and better. A lot of times in high schools, you see kickers out there by themselves on an alternate field, mm-hmm. just kicking by themselves.
Yep, and they're not really learning anything. No. So to get that, the teaching and the coaching, just to tweak a kid to make him better on one little thing he may be doing and can't figure it out, that's why I like doing it, because I'm figuring out his process, but at the same time, I don't want to fully change him because he'd got to where he is, but he might need to be a little tweaked. It's what I even do every day with these kids out here at Tech right now.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So
that's amazing. It had to be, just real quick, coaching your son. How rewarding was that?
Well, it's still rewarding because he's out at Tech right now, but it's almost like I have to pinch myself because a lot of times fathers don't get to have that opportunity to do that. And to be able to be out there with him. And sometimes I want to pursue something with him, but then I got to step back because he'll say, "Dad, no, Dad, no, you know, don't say anything, you know." So I got to know when to step back, but I got to know when to go forward.
I tell you, I work out at Planet Fitness, and he works out there a lot. Not only does he work out over with you guys, but he comes over to Planet Fitness and works out. And I've got to see him
really grow
from a high school kid that looked like a high school kid into a man.
Yep.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with Wayne Anderson.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Good morning and welcome back, Upper Cumberland. This is Sam Brooks, your host, Michael Bowen, co-host, and today we're talking with Wayne Anderson, former NFL football kicker, and we're talking about his time at Tennessee Tech and now leading into what he's doing now at Tennessee Tech.
So you're talking about coaching young kickers. What changes have you seen in young kickers coming up, you know, from when you were younger to what you see coming up now?
Well, I think the biggest change, Mike, is the fact that they're off the ground now versus when I played, it was tee-driven. Mm-hmm. You know, you had a 1-inch, 2-inch tee or whatever the case may be, whatever you're comfortable with. But to go off the ground, it's to me, it wasn't a big transition NFL-wise or whatever, or when I had to do it for the little bit of time that I did do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's probably one of the biggest things, and the strength of these kids because of the conditioning so different now.
Right.
I mean, like Sam said about like my son, I mean, it's amazing what he's been able to do with his physique, if you will, because of working out.
Do you feel like the pool of available young kickers has gotten larger with maybe the explosion of soccer kind of around here, more kids?
I would agree with that. I think it definitely has, and there's a lot of kicking camps and so forth out there. I'm a fan of them, but then again, some of them I'm not really for them because mm-hmm. I think they misguide kids to a degree sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I try to be really personable with the kid, and that's what I try to do at Tech, and that's what I try to do at the high school, and just try to find if I could just tweak them one little bit to make them better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my whole goal, is make them better and let them know that I'm there for them. And it goes so far when they know that.
So you mentioned Tennessee Tech, and we need to let people in on the understanding. It's been tough with COVID, and a lot of people probably don't know, but Wayne has returned to Tennessee Tech now, as we mentioned a little bit before, and he is the kicking coach for Tennessee Tech now. So tell us a little bit about how you got back to Tennessee Tech? I know you had the desire to do that for a while. How did that all work out?
Well, it started with, you know, under Coach Satterfield, and it just didn't pan out under him. So when Coach Alexander got the job, he says, Wayne, I'm going to do everything I can to get you out here from a volunteer level. And that's what I wanted, because it worked in my favor with my job and not have a conflict of interest at all. So with that being said, Coach A said, Wayne, we're working on this. We'll let you know. And then one thing led to another. And, of course, not last fall, but the last fall before that, 19, I guess it'd be, that's when I spent my first year out there with him. And it was just fantastic to be part of that.
Let's talk about Coach A for a minute. I've had him in here a couple times already and just known him for a long time. You know, former high school coach that did well just about everywhere he's been. And every program that he's been to, he's done well at. And we it's no secret, you and I both were on the hiring committee when they decided to let Satterfield go, and we were looking for another coach. And I've known Dwayne for a long time, but when he came in that interview and he sat down with all of us in that pressure cooker of a situation, which I figured it would be for anybody that came in there, he just really stood out to me. And he handled it well, and his excitement for wanting to be back at Tennessee Tech was very evident.
I think you hit the nail on the head, Sam. The excitement level that he brings and the overall demeanor that he had during that interview, it's almost like, man, it's a no-brainer to have him as our coach, because you could see caring in his eyes that he would care for these players. And darn it, I see it. When I'm out there, I see it. And these players are engaged in him and vice versa. And all the coaches are. Mm-hmm. You know, I can't take that away from any coach that's out there. God love them. I love them all. They're great guys. But they care about not only the school in the community, but bottom line, they care about the kids.
And you know, I think, you know, it's important to talk about how important Tennessee Tech football, Tennessee Tech sports overall are to this community. It's been around for a long time, mm-hmm. and just having the right people in these roles, the right people mentoring these kids who are being sent here from, you know, some are local, but some are from out of state,
that's
from
right.
all over the place. That's a, you know, that's a big responsibility, and it sounds like, you know, we've got the right people in those roles.
Well, without a doubt. In fact, I tell kids, I said, look, if you get in a Tussie or you get into a jam somewhere and you need my help, I let them know that, look, I'll come help you. You know, come to me if you need me. My door is always open to you. And when kids realize that, and see, I don't think we really had that as much as you do nowadays because of the way society is and the media and everything else. But when kids know that you do care, like I said earlier, they're going to reach out to you. And all I want those kids to do is respect me, and I'll respect them back. But then again, what falls in line with that is love. The love of these kids and mentoring these kids to project them forward to a good life ahead of them, because football is a good projection, but then again, football is a lot like life. Day in and day out, it's exactly like the way life is.
Today we're talking to Wayne Anderson, former Tennessee Tech All-American kicker. We'll play a game, Wayne. We'll play a quick game. I'm going to mention a coach's name, and you're going to say one word to describe that coach, okay? I'm going to start with you, Wayne Anderson.
Understanding.
Okay. Director of Football Operations, Chip Pugh.
Personable.
Assistant coach and wide receivers, Lamont Seward.
Caring.
Okay. Assistant coach, cornerbacks, Fred Marshall.
Funny.
You had to think on that.
Yeah.
I haven't met this guy yet, but I can't wait to hear a lot about him. Assistant coach, run game coordinator, Dave Johnson.
Incredible.
Assistant coach, transfer junior college liaison, and nickel coach, Jeff Heron.
Persistent.
Offered me my first job in Georgia.
Wow.
Yeah. Bunch of state championships. We'll talk about him a little bit later. Assistant coach, linebackers, Bruce Hatfield.
I'm going to use two words. I'm just going to say Golden Eagles.
Golden Eagle. Assistant coach, special teams coordinator, Chris Grimes.
Can I use the same word twice to these guys?
Sure.
If I had to?
Sure.
Yeah, very knowledgeable in what he does.
Okay.
Yeah, very knowledgeable.
And you can use a phrase if you
want
to.
I think it's easier for me to use a phrase. I feel like I'm on a game show or something.
He didn't write the rules down.
I put you on the hot seat, man. All right, assistant coach, offensive recruiting coordinator, tight ends, downtown Burt Brown.
He's just a good down-to-earth guy and loves to be out there.
Oh, my God.
He loves it.
You got that right. Defensive coordinator, Donnie Suber.
Very passionate about the game and the kids.
Love this guy. Offensive coordinator, quarterbacks coach, Doug Malone.
Oh, Coach Malone is awesome. Just very passionate about being out here and being with us.
One of my faves, always has been, defensive line associate head coach, Sam Williamson.
Loves the game and loves the kids.
Great guy, man.
Great guy, absolutely.
Head coach, Dwayne Alexander.
That would be real difficult to put one word from Dwayne, because if you asked Dwayne one word about me, he'd go into a paragraph probably.
No doubt.
But anyway, Coach A is, he gave me this opportunity to do this. We're former alumni, but his passion and his knowledge of the game, and like I said earlier, his caring and love for the kids, it goes right into all of our coaches. It just flows into the coaches to give these kids.
We could see alumni was going to be very important to him. Out of all the coaches that I've dealt with, he deals with his alumni better than anybody I've ever seen. Why is that important to him?
I think it's important because he sees the trust there. I think he sees the trust and the respect that we're here and I don't need to be here, and I don't think they need to be here. They want to be here. When you want to be somewhere, you're gonna go a little bit further for not only the other coaches but for the players as well. And I think that's what's going on.
So why was it important? Why is it important? You've got Burt Brown, you've got yourself, you've got Bruce Hatfield, who are former players here at Tennessee Tech. Why is it important to get a few of those guys back?
I think it's good for recruiting. I think it's good for the community because we have come back here. We're living in the community. And I think overall it's good for the kids. It's good for these kids to see, wow, you played here and yet you're back here coaching. There must be an aura about Tennessee Tech and wanting to give back, because that's what we're doing. We're giving back, but at the same time, we want to propel this program. We want this program to succeed. We want to be OVC champs, man. We want to go to that next level. And I'm getting chills talking about this right now, but that's what we want to do. You know, and it's really neat to see what we're doing together, not only as alumni, but these other coaches, you know, propelling us forward.
And you mentioned Bruce Hatfield. Michael and I are going to have him in here, but when we do, we're going to put like a barrier up in between us, because I've been on the other side of that guy before, and it wasn't pretty to look at.
Yo.
So we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with our last segment. Good morning. Welcome back. This is your host, Sam Brooks, Local Matters Sports, along with Michael Bowen, talking to Wayne Anderson, former Tennessee Tech All-American kicker and also played in the NFL.
So, Wayne, you know, All-American kicker in college, kicked at the highest level. Can you talk a little bit about what it was like transitioning to the NFL and what it's like in an NFL practice, that sort of thing?
Well, my time, which was back in 80 and 81, 81 and 82, It was almost surreal. Like, you know, was it really happening? But when I went to training camp in Buffalo, and Steve Davis was there with me in Buffalo, who was the punter that I had for 3 years punting at Tennessee Tech, and he was a very good punter himself. But he was with me with the Bills, and I was doing extremely well there, and he was doing really well there. And the thing that bothered me there that they were doing is their kicker from the prior couple of years wasn't even practicing with us or against us. So we're talking one night, Steve and I, and he goes, "How come Mickemeyer's not even kicking against you?" I said, "You know what? I don't know. That's a good question, but I don't know." I mean, so with that being said, the transition wasn't difficult. It's just getting to that level and having to get the routine down and know that you're in a different era, because it's faster, and then it's really fast. Yeah, when you get to that level.
And just talk about the competition in NFL training camp. I mean,
it's really tough. I mean, it's not that it was tough on me, but you could see it in other positions on people are battling, and it's kind of like their livelihood, and this is what it was depending on. I kind of like didn't think of it that way because I was only 21 years old. I was only 17 when I came to Tech. So to me, it was just like, hey, I've been given an opportunity. Let me make the best of it and see what happens. See where the cards fall, as they may.
So what we've seen on TV, Mike, of the manager, you know, going into the locker room and getting their stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
The ones that you got to actually see that.
Yes, I did. In fact, I was with them, probably, I don't know, almost a month, and then the Chiefs picked me up on waivers. And I still don't know why the Bills let me go. But anyway, Marv Levy met me when I went into camp. He was their coach with the Chiefs at the time, and he was good friends with Coach Wade.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, your college coach highly recommended that I pick you up. And he says, it'll be worth your while. So, I mean, I didn't play long with Kansas City, but the fact that they gave me an opportunity and I was able to play in Arrowhead a little bit and be around that type of organization under Marv Levy, because he's a great coach as it was. But just the fact that the opportunity was presented itself to me, and I wish I could have played longer. Anybody does that goes to that level, but things just they weren't in the cards, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's in God's hands, and I trusted that, and it was what it was.
Yeah, you know? But I mean, you're talking about a situation of at least getting that opportunity and having that experience under your belt. You know, I mean, what, 1%?
I think it's less than 1%.
Yeah, of athletes even get that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
All right, so the last year has been unprecedented with everything. Schools, work, food, you know, next paycheck for a lot of people. But on the other side of that is athletics. And so everything that a college campus has done in the past has been affected by COVID-19. You know, you guys came in, you got a couple years under your belt. Dwayne Alexander has one of the best turnarounds in the nation at Tennessee Tech football. You're growing the team, you're growing the talent, everything's moving in the right direction, and then the pandemic hits. Talk to the folks out there and tell them a little bit about what that looks like to a college athlete.
From a college athlete standpoint, and even from a coach's standpoint, it's difficult because everything was turned upside down. You know, we're moving forward because of our season 2 years ago in a very positive and proactive manner, and yet this pandemic hits. Well, with that being said, and you got to give a lot of credit to Joe Erteljack, he's the one handling all this with all the sports at Tennessee Tech. So with that being said, just the testing and the mindset that each individual coach and player has to do, they have to do their due diligence. You just can't go out and be around people and not know where they're from and vice versa and all of a sudden get it and pass it on to somebody else. You got to take due care moving forward. But the turmoil that this pandemic has caused has been, you know, unrelenting to Tennessee Tech, not only football, but every sport. But you just have to barrel through each day. Take each day and make the best of that day and do all you can. And it's like I was telling the girl out front, I got to get tested again tomorrow. I've probably been tested 15 times or whatever, but Thursdays in the morning we get tested and we go on, and that's what you do. But I think we're taking the guys have bought into it. The coaches and the players have bought into it from a football perspective, and you have to. But Coach A says every day, make the best of today and go on tomorrow and do what we got. The reasons are good to do what we're doing because it's not only are we guided by OVC, but we're guided by the NCAA to do what we need to do.
And, you know, you touched on it there, but the responsibilities and discipline that's now required to be a student athlete over the last 12 months, it's amazing.
I think it's really exceeded what their normal responsibility has been over the years. Study, you know, go to class, you know, perform at practice and so forth, be good throughout the community in what you're doing. But, yeah, you have a due diligence, like I said, to make sure you stay out of harm's way and that you don't infect, because it's up to each individual, not only the coaches, but the players, the trainers, everyone involved with the program has to do their due diligence to not let this thing get out of hand. Mm-hmm. And that's all we're trying to do each and every day.
We're talking to Wayne Anderson, former Tennessee Tech All-American football kicker. Continuing on that conversation, Wayne, this has presented a unique opportunity for Tennessee Tech and the OVC, and we're going to have spring football. I didn't want that to happen, and I don't necessarily think it was a good decision because I feel like the OVC, if they had went forward, a lot of our teams could have got some national notoriety and played some big-time teams.
Last year?
Yeah, and had a financial windfall because of that. So I'm not sitting here saying that I agree with the decision not to play because I think it was the wrong decision. But now that we're on the other side of that, Michael, we're going to have spring football.
Yes.
So I'm lucky enough to work with ESPN Plus and be able to do the games. And so I'm looking forward to that. I don't know how I'm going to get up the stairs, but I'm going to get up there somehow. So February 21st, we're going to have Tennessee Tech football on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So we got football basically all year long now. So I'm happy now. I wasn't happy before, but I'm happy now.
Well, hopefully next winter, we're not playing football. We're just doing the fall, and we could do our winter workouts,
right,
go into spring practice, and then prepare for fall. I mean, it's like you said earlier, it's just a very weird situation to be out there practicing for games right now. At first I wasn't for it, but you know what? We're doing what we got to do. We're here for a reason, to get these players ready for Austin Peay come February 21st, and that's what we're doing. And hopefully it'll work out for the best. And, you know, like with Eastern Kentucky leaving, you know, I think we play seven OVC games. And
is EKU leaving now?
I think,
or
that
next
that
year?
I'm not too clear on, but I know they're committed to the Atlantic Sun Conference.
Wow,
moving forward.
I heard about that
because I think we're supposed to play them. I don't think we're playing them.
Gotcha.
In the spring.
Well, and you know, the hope here is that, you know, with it being a spring season where some of the other football's already been played, maybe the exposure for Tennessee Tech and OVC football, you know, the spotlight's on Tech
that
spring.
See, there's a positive guy. That is the other side of it, Michael, that, you know, in the fall, I didn't think a whole lot about that. But now you know, this is the dead time for me. There's no football on. It's too cold to play golf. So I don't really like winter very much. I tend to get a little depressed. I'm not a depressed person. But now it's going to give us the opportunity to have football, whether it's a game you get to go to or you get to see it on TV, mm-hmm. whatever the situation might be. So we're going to have football. Mm-hmm. And not to mention the financial downfall that could happen because of we're playing at this time of year. So you're exactly right, Mike. Good point.
I think with the games being held now, based upon the way we finished not last fall, the fall before when we finished 6-6, when we could have easily have been 8-3, 8-4, whatever the case may be, we could have easily been that with a tide turn one way or another. So I think we have to play off that season because everyone's back almost except for a few players. So we got a lot of returning players coming back. So hopefully we can project going forward and make the best out of the spring because it, like I said, it is what it is. We're playing. We don't have a choice. We're playing.
Let's talk in terms of honesty. I'm going to be honest. When Dwayne Alexander came in, the cupboards were bare. I mean, I think that's being gentle with the situation and there was a, you know, maybe some situations to where, you know, accountability for the players wasn't where it needed to be. So there were a lot of things that Dwayne walked into that weren't something that's nice for a new coach to walk into. And he walked in and had a really good recruiting class in a very short term and got some good players in here. They guessed that whole group, mm-hmm. you know, and they did well. They all played early and did well and then followed that up last year with another good recruiting class. And then this past recruiting class, very good recruiting class. So the excitement level is very high for Tennessee Tech football right now. You still got to go out there and play the game, and you got to make those things happen. But, you know, some guests we've had before in football said it, you know, players make good coaches, no doubt.
Yeah.
And I feel like Tennessee Tech is moving in the right direction with talent.
But I think overall, though, the way Coach Alexander and our coaching staff can recruit players to come here, and a lot of times, hopefully, the kid wants to come here to get an education, of course, but to come here and play football for, you know, Tennessee Tech is vital. But I think Coach A just – it tells him point blank, and he's honest with the kids. And when he gets in front of the parents, he's got him. He's got him in the palm of his hand because that's the way Coach A is.
Right.
If he gets in front of the parents, you're 99% chance you're coming here.
Yeah. There's no acting with Coach A.
No, he grabs you and he pulls you in. Every time he speaks, he pulls me in even deeper. You know, and I'm deep into him, but he pulls me in even more. And it's just really it's really neat to see a coach that does that with the players. And if kids could gravitate, that's the way they need to be going.
There's no doubt. Wayne, you've had a incredible career both in high school and at Tennessee Tech and on with the Chiefs and in the NFL. And we're just glad to have you back, man. I consider you a close friend now and happy to know you and really looking forward to see what you guys can do with this Tennessee Tech football team. This community is thirsty for Tennessee Tech football to be at the top of the game. And I think we've got a good chance to do that in the coming years. And the support with the alumni is incredible, and you guys have come a long way to make that happen. So we appreciate that. And more than that, we appreciate you being on the show with us today, and we definitely will do this again tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate you having me, and I know it's a pleasure to be here. And I could just speak from the heart and my gut and tell it like it is. But it's a pleasure to be here, and I hope good things for Tennessee Tech football moving forward. But you're right, Sam, this community – and school, that we need this. We need this due to what's happened here over the past year with the tornado and everything that's gone on here. We need this moving forward to be really positive for Tennessee Tech, not only Tennessee Tech football, but all sports programs here at Tennessee Tech.
You're right. You're correct. Thanks for joining us today, Wayne. And again, we'll have you back. Michael, thanks for being here today. Appreciate it.
Glad to be here. Appreciate you having me.
You guys have an awesome day.